Hola, what's happening? This is the Maniacal Man, it's Kyle Smith speaking from the future about the past and the present. Like, share, subscribe, all that. Do what you gotta do to keep following me. Stay abreast of whatever I'm doing. Become a friend. Hit me up. Give me an email. Shout me out. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Listen up and enjoy these words. You can follow me at ManiacalMenace.com or Maniacal Menace on Instagram. That's ManiacalMenace. I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
There it is. All right. Nice. And what's up, what's up, what's up? Back again, goddammit, with another edition of Tell Me a Joke, Guideline of Chasing the Dream. I'm your host, the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. And today with me, I have, goddamn, Mr. 504 himself, Mr. Newly Married. God, I had a whole bunch in my head that I was gonna rattle off, but I definitely don't have. Oh, Mr. Cat Daddy himself, goddammit, Jeffrey Gaucher.
How's it going?
What's up, man?
Not too much. Yeah, but there are 3 freaking cats in my house.
Oh,
now.
Just it's adorable.
It's insane.
I've been having my little stint with the cats, and we got some little yard cats where my dad's at. And so these little yard cats are just the cutest shit ever because they're still kittens. So and the mom's not around, so you know they basically don't know anything else besides to come beg first thing in the morning. Yep, it's like, yep. Oh, all right, well my parents feed them, so might as well continue. But it's always cool come to your house, man, because you're pretty crafty. You make the best out of a little situation, and it's like, oh, this is awesome, dude. this is the productivity of free time.
Yeah, that's dude. I was thinking about it today. I didn't have like any actual work to do today, and so I was like, man, all these projects that have just been like half finished, I can actually do that. Yeah, shit today. This is awesome.
Right. Goddamn half finished products that you can always get back into. That's always fun. So you said you've been on your own. Well, freelancing for about a year now,
I think it was August of last year. Yeah, so damn, yeah, probably almost a year and a half now at that point.
Oh man.
Yeah,
so what have you been doing to sustain, like, how does the freelancing work?
So for me, I got a little bit lucky. So the job that I was working at more or less laid me off, but they basically moved me to a contract worker instead of full-time, so I'm still getting work with them. Doing some, you know, web developer, and so doing some website stuff for them, some of their clients. So I was getting fairly steady work from them, and I just wrapped up a project with them yesterday, and then just picking up a few things word of mouth wise, like a couple other old projects. I taught a class at Loyola over the summer, but you know, just trying to make ends meet, and it was going really well. In the last like 6 months though, it's just been like kind of drying up. I don't have the hustle in me to just like go out and find people. Like
everybody
I was working for was like people who were like, hey, a friend of mine needs a website or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, send them my way and I'll charge them. But like I'm like, man, I'm not digging through Craigslist ads and shit like that.
Yeah,
like,
for real.
I just want to go to work and then come home and like not worry about work. Like,
yeah,
that sounds like the dream there. All day, like, and not being around a human being. Like, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't just see another person. It's not just me and 3 cats and a computer screen all day. I'll go to the damn grocery store just to go buy like eggs, just so I can go. Like,
just so you can see somebody. Yeah. Like, it's so is that what you went to school for web design?
Uh-huh.
Like, so is it like, are you doing like HTML or are you just basically?
So yeah, I'm doing all like front end stuff, so like the stuff that you see, like the actual like visual stuff. I do a lot of back end stuff, so like the server side stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the front end is what I like, because like, I like trying to figure out how to make something work for the user. Like, I like learning about like different patterns and stuff of like how people use apps and websites and stuff like that. And like, you know, oh, you know, like people, if, you know, if this is in the first like X amount of pixels on the page, like they're going to see it because nobody scrolls past this many and that kind of stuff. And like learning behavior patterns and stuff like that. Like, I love that shit.
Yeah.
And so like, that's why I like working on the front end stuff. But yeah, so I do HTML, JavaScript, CSS. It's all like for the front end stuff. That's
so
all,
you fuck with actual coding and
shit?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, there's not too many people that still tapped into the matrix.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, because there's so many things like your Squarespace and your Wix and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can just go drag and drop, WordPress, even. Like, you can go set up stuff, which is great because, like, not everybody needs, like, oh, high power website. Some people just need a thing to put like some information on and some pictures, you know, just like a brochure basically.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You don't need me for that. But like, you know, if you need like shit to like happen and do things, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, because I've just finished mine, my Wix website, maniacalminutes.com. And it was a lot easier because at first I had a Squarespace and a whole bunch of shit went down with Squarespace. I just tried to overload it.
I was
just like, oh, I can do all this, put all this. And then I got to the point to where I was like, I don't really know how to fix this. Like, now that it's all mumbled and shit. Now I'm like, all right, you know what? Fuck this. I left it alone for a minute. Then shit started canceling out. And so I switched to Wix, and Wix was just so much simpler. Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, this is a lot less hassle to deal with, you know, and I'm easily able to fix whatever I need to fix, and it goes, it's doing what I needed to do, and I'm like, oh, all right, well, cancel the Squarespace.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just for listening from different podcasts and everything, from what people have, you know, those advertisements really get motherfuckers.
Dude,
it's
like,
this is what I use. Well, he uses it. Yeah. I've been listening to him for so long. Might as well jump over it too. And Wix is a lot easier. It's real simplistic for people that is just first making a website. I mean, Squarespace is nice. It's like everything. It looks real professional. But like when you go over the way, you don't really need something extravagant.
Right. Yeah. You're just trying to put up like links to, you know, videos and your social media and stuff like that. Putting up show dates and all that. Like that's, you know, you don't need anything super
real
fancy
simple
for that.
Yeah. Real goddamn simple.
Yeah.
Because Jeff is the creator of our website, our comedy forum down here, 504comedy.com, and like I've seen other people's forums and shit, and it is like you said, real, like I was saying, real simple.
Mm-hmm.
You be able to go through it and find everything that's there, and it is to the T. And like, you out of the ones I've seen from the places I've been, you hands down have the best forum out there.
Honestly, that's what made me make it, was like, two reasons. One, I'd be like at a show and like either comics would be in town or there'd be audience members like, oh, we didn't realize there was comedy shows in New Orleans. Where can we see more comedy? I was like, well, on Monday here, here at 8 o'clock, Tuesday here, and here. And like, they're not going to remember that shit.
No.
And like, I couldn't remember everything. So I was like, I'll just make a website. Because like, when I would go out of town and stuff like that, people are like, oh yeah, go look at this website. And like, sometimes it's just like a Google Doc of just like all the dates.
Yeah,
and
it's like, are you still
going?
I mean,
that's helpful, but like, you know, it's just not as... And I was like, because our scene is so small, and like I said, some people don't even know comedy happens in New Orleans. Like, it's a music town.
Right.
And so people know that they can come down here, walk down Frenchman Street, go hear a brass band or something like that, which is awesome. You should do that. But like, there's other shit to do here too. And I don't think people knew that, or still don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, if I'm going to be compiling this like list of all the comedy shows and open mics in town, I might as well make it to where like, not just comedians can look at this.
Right.
Like, make it a thing where maybe we can get some more butts in seats, you know?
Yeah.
And like, and I think it's working. I've had people tell me like, you know, oh, I asked people where they found out about the show, and they're like, oh, we saw it on 504 Comedy. I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, you plastered that. That is going to be a staple for like the rest, like from here on out, like, this is a part of history now. Like this is, it seems like one of those 80s movies, or Before It Starts, or 80s commercial where you just see a dude going around slapping stickers up.
Mm-hmm. And
psh, 504 comedy. And yeah, I just, ever since like that, because it's been so simple just to be like, here, just go here, and it has everything. Because I figured I was mentioning this to the other day, but when Tiffany Haddish came down here before, before she started the movie Girls Trip, and all that. In the beginning of that, we was kicking it and shit. We had a good rapport with her, and when we was kicking it, she came down. She was like, "Hey, so what mics they got around here?" And I was like, "Oh man, well, all right." And you know, I try to narrow it down in my head to which ones that I preferred to go to.
Right.
We didn't really have that many. We had enough. But you know, it was still to the point to where I was just started rattling stuff off, and she was like, "Ah!" But then Andrew Polk was standing right there, and Andrew Polk had like a list already.
He had like a PDF.
And he was like, "Look, I can just send this to you, and that shows you everything." I was like, "Oh, motherfucker!
Yeah.
You just changed the game on me just now." I was like, "Oh shit! I should have probably thought of that."
Yeah.
And you know, I've never just taken the time to actually just monetize everything and put it in one. And once this 504 comedy came out, I was like, "Oh, this is what we fucking needed."
Yeah, man, I love it. And like, I mean, it is a lot of work, but like, it's fun for me because it's kind of like it's like a playground for me. Like, being a developer, like when I've like got an idea to build something, like I just try it out on 504 comedy first. Like, I build it. Like, it doesn't run on an actual database. I built my own like data storage system.
Really?
Just to fuck around. I was like, let me see if I could do this. And I was like, let's use it for 504. I built it and it was just sitting there not being used. And I was like, let's use it for 504 comedy. And, so it's like my fun little thing where I can just kind of fuck around and try out new shit. And
it's good to have that guy around. Yeah, the computer guy. It's like if this was a heist situation, you'd be a computer guy. Yeah. That's awesome. How long have you been doing comedy for?
A little over 5 years. Yeah, August was 5 years.
Yeah. Is this what you've always wanted to do? Was that your dream as a child?
I don't know. Like, I've always been into comedy. Like, my dad used to show me, like, he, like, put on comedy specials and stuff like that on HBO. Mm-hmm. Like, Sinbad and Howie Mandel and George Carlin and stuff like that. And so it's like, I kind of grew up loving it. And then like back in the day when Comedy Central first came out, when it was like how MTV used to be, like it just showed like stand up comedy, like all the time before it just like stopped doing that as much.
Yeah. They stopped doing a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh,
so I started watching, but like my sister and I were like, you know, when we were home, over the summer, you know, out of school, we would just watch Comedy Central all day. We'd watch, you know, all the stand-up stuff. We'd watch Kids in the Hall and everything else on there.
Yeah, that got me as well.
Yeah. We'd just sit there and watch it all day. So, like, I got into it. And then I never really, like, super thought about doing stand-up until, like...
Me neither.
I don't know, maybe, like, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, when I was married the first go-around. I was talking to my ex-wife about it when she was my wife. And like she said, she was like, "Well, what if you get famous and you leave me?" I'm like, "I'm not gonna get fucking famous." Like, you understand how long that takes?
Yeah, like, there's a process.
Like, I'm like,
"You're
no,
gonna be
I'm
here
never,
long enough for me to leave you."
And then she's the one who left me. But but yeah, so I put it off, and then after we split, and I started dating this other woman, and I was like talking about, she's like, "Why don't you just go to the open mic and just do it?" And I was like, I guess I could just go and do it.
Oh, now. You never did it? You just always talked about it?
Exactly. So I went to Carrollton Station. I went to Carrollton Station a couple times, didn't sign up, just kind of went to go watch.
Yeah.
I'd never been to an open mic before. I didn't even know how anything works. So I just went to go watch and like
scary
see
moments.
What people were doing and like kind of get a feel for how it worked and everything.
Yeah.
So after like going like two or three times and just lurking, I went like every other week for the first 2 months, and only to Carrollton Station. So like the first 2 months, I only did it four times because I went. I was like, well, I don't want to go every week and like Same jokes, because they're going to be like, this guy's telling the same jokes every week.
Yeah, the whole mentality, like, not knowing. That's what you not knowing. Do. Yeah.
How
yeah.
do you get good if you don't keep doing
the baby shit? Feet, man.
Yeah, I know, man. I wish more people had told me shit, like, early on, because those. I constantly look back, like, man, those first 2 months were kind of wasted.
Yeah.
I've been, like, hitting, like, 4 or 5 mics a week. Well, I guess back then, maybe, like, 3 mics a week. You know, like, for the first 2 months, who knows where I'd be at right now.
Carrollton Station was your first place to start. That was where I first started as well. I was like, this is, okay, I went and watched the first time, and I was like, all right, I gotta go up. The anxiety hit me just watching the first time, and then the second time I went up, and I was like, oh, I have to keep doing this. Like, and then from then on, I wanted to see what else they had out there, and I branched off to other places, but, like, nobody knows if you're new or not.
Right.
People just, oh, you do comedy here. Boom, get in the trenches. Yeah. This is like,
when I first started doing it, I was at Carrollton, and I was talking to Andrew Heelan about it, and he's like, you've been doing other open mics? I was like, nah, just here.
Oh.
And he's like, dude, you got to do other rooms. Like, yeah. You're going to get different audiences. You're going to just have a different experience. Different shows give you different amounts of time on stage. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to go do other rooms. I was like, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And then, like, after that, I think 12 Mile was the first one I did outside of Carrollton, I think.
Yeah.
And I showed up, like, early, because I was like, I gotta be on time, and it was back when Molly was still hosting.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, where's the sign up sheet? She's like, it goes out at 8:30, and I looked at my watch and it was like 8:20. I was like, oh, okay, all right. I mean, like 8:30.
Yeah.
Like, which is weird, because, like, you grew up here, like, you know, like, New Orleans time is not, like, on time.
Yeah,
no. I don't know why I thought they'd be like, yeah, 8:30 means, like, yeah, around 8:30, like, early. I was like, no, it's, at 8:30. That makes sense.
At 8:30 or later. Yeah. Like, it's not going to start any time before then. Yeah. People want their precious moments before shit has to get fucking wild. Yeah. Yeah, and so, that, like, I think the second place I went to was La Nuit.
Mm.
And, like, from then on, that was home, because, like, Jackie gave no fucks. Jackie was just like, oh, you do comedy? All right, here you go. And they would just leave you up there for, like, 12 minutes. And it's like, I don't even have 12. I just started yesterday, okay? And now you give me, all right, well, here comes the ideas. And boom, from then on, that's what birthed the comic. And so I understand what it is to, like, to start somewhere. And this is a good place to start. Like, I
agree with that.
I've told... I think I was talking to Mark yesterday about this, like, man, there needs to be a form or some type of listing that says, if you want to do comedy, the places that you should start and the places that you should, you know, like, from fucking elementary to fucking middle school to high school type of shit like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, because LA is not the place to start comedy at all.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really like. I mean, I've toyed with the idea of moving away from here and married Devin too. I mean, I think we're kind of, you know, now that we're married, we're kind of like, we'll probably just fucking stay here.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not, I mean, honestly, it's like, it's not that crazy though, because, like, first of all, I mean, it's fucking New Orleans. So,
yeah.
Like, why would you not want to live here?
Yeah.
But also, like, we, being such a cool city that people love to visit, we get to, you know, we get great comics passing through town. So you get to make those connections without having to go do a festival or something like
that.
Like, I could probably go to any city with a comedy scene worth a damn and get on a handful of shows, because I know somebody in that scene.
Yeah.
It's like, just from running shows here and just doing mics here and,
right,
like, you know, all these people coming from, you know, Atlanta and Denver and Chicago and stuff like that, Austin, coming through town to come hang out here, either on a bachelor party or a work conference, or they're just like, I want to go hang out in New Orleans and do some comedy, like, getting to meet everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go and travel and, like, still be based here, but, like, you could go on the road and, like, put together a tour pretty easily and, like, have people vouch for you and stuff like that, because they're like, oh yeah, I know this dude, he runs a great show out there, he's a nice guy, he's funny, you know, like, and get on shows. So I think, like, it's doable to still be based here. And like, I mean, I guess it depends on what you're looking for too. Like, I mean, are you trying to, like, break into like late night and stuff like that, like, right. All right, maybe, you know, maybe you, yeah, you'll have to move.
Right. Especially like, if you look at trying to get into clubs or some shit like that.
You just want to be like a road dog and, you know, hit the road and go do shows around town, around the country every so often. Like, yeah, we can do it here. It's fine.
Yeah. It, most people, that's what most people are that I've seen are actually starting to do now. And it's, as long as you find that stability and that comfort, like, it doesn't seem like it's very difficult. Like, since I've been gone, I do feel, it feels like a bit of a start over, but not like a drastic start over.
Yeah, because you at least got your skills now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what I'm going into and how to go about it. But, I've also was thinking about my process is going to be a lot slower just because, like, I know I haven't been out as, I've always been just based here meeting people as they come through. I never had anybody stationary I've had you know, the spontaneous show, but it hasn't been to where it's been a stationary thing to where people just come through and it's like, oh, this is that person, this is that person.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, it's just kind of like basically word of mouth that I've been dealing with. So I know it's going to be a slower process for me to actually just branch out and start doing my own tours and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's the next step.
I need to travel more, man. Yeah. I just don't do it enough.
Yeah.
Like, and I like doing it, like, because, I mean, being here, I've never lived anywhere. I've never even, like, went away for college. Like, I went to UMass.
Oh, shit.
You know? Like, right. I've never left here. Whoa. So, like, I need to travel more. Like, I went to Atlanta last January, and that was a lot. Wait. Oh, and Mary Devin and I went. Where the hell did we go? Memphis? No, that was before. That was a year before that. No. Yeah, that was February last year. Damn, that was the last time I went out of town for comedy. Outside of, like, going to, like, Lafayette, but, like.
Yeah.
That's, I consider that still, like, here. You know? Right. Like, Lafayette and Baton Rouge are just, like, an extension of the New Orleans scene.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It does feel not, but to see that I'm gone and to see that everything is, like, really picking up down here, it's like, ah, damn it, did I leave at the wrong time? Should I have not left? But it's like, no.
Yeah,
this needs to happen.
Yeah, you just gotta rip the Band-Aid off and do it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's, man, I can't imagine it. I'm sure it's hard.
Yeah,
LA it seems like a hard place to just live
I'm
in,
glad,
even
see,
if you're from there.
Right, because it's nice, but you do start missing certain things, like being able to go outside with your own alcohol and not have anybody tell you some shit.
Right.
But from LA, I moved down from LA. I'm in Texas now.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
So I've the Houston scene is, it's like a weight's been lifted, man.
Yeah.
Coming from way up there and just like, oh, people don't really give a fuck about you out here. Like, there's no type of friendship that you can, I mean, you can have certain types of friendships, but they're very here and there and it's very hard to find.
It's not like the whole scene, like, cohesive. Like, that's what I like about here. It's like, you know, like, everybody's got their groups of friendship and stuff like that, but, like, at mics and shows, everybody's just like, hey, what's up? How's it going?
Right,
like, like, everybody gets along. It's like a one big giant family. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know. That's what I like about
it. Yeah. You don't really have to. I mean, they have that out there, but it just seems like it's not easy to get into any of that out there. Because, like, when you see them, it's just like, oh, this is your group. Because there's so many people. There's so many goddamn people. It's like, oh, all right, this is y'all little group of friendship right here. Mm. All right, and then everybody else has theirs. And it's like, okay, where would I fit in? I don't know. I don't know if I want to fit in between any of this out here. Because it doesn't look like my type of crowd. So it's like, you know what, I'll just stick to myself and watch it. I'll just watch it from the outside.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I don't mind observing. I don't mind being that loner, that the guy in the corner looking all weird and shit. Yeah, I mean,
that's me. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm always, like, squatting down on the sidewalk outside the venue with my highlights, staring at my phone.
True, true that. Most of the time, I'll be wanting my peace, and it's just like, let me just observe for now. And then once I get on stage, then people, whoever wants to approach me from then.
Yeah, they'll get to see, like, oh, that's what that dude's like. All
Exactly. That's how I feel about certain. And when I especially when I go certain areas where I don't know anybody, Like, I do get back to my original self. Like when once people see me on stage, they're like, oh, this is you normally. Well, this is me when I'm not afraid to talk to anybody. Internally, I am very shy. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, this is how I've always been in school and shit.
Yeah.
But once I get going, then boom, like, I can come out the shell.
Right,
but
right.
Until then, mm-hmm. let me sulk in this corner right now.
Man, that's me too, a fucking T, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the same way. Like, if somebody approaches me, like, you know, fine, mm-hmm. but, like, when I'm, like, I feel like talking to people, and I mm-hmm. walk over, and I get in the conversation, I'm, like, I'm on, I can do it.
Right.
But it's, like, I have to, like, look, maybe that's why I like cats, man. Like, like, you can't just, like, go hang out with a cat. You have to let a cat come hang out with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah. I guess I'm more like that. I'm not like a dog who's just, like, yeah, whatever, whoever wants it. I'm just, like, no, you gotta, let me get comfortable.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
I'll come by, I'll rub up against your leg.
Scale the land for a second, yeah. See what's going on around this area, and then I'll come back and say hi and shit. Yeah. That's how I feel about new areas, and I've talking to Cora yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that I've put myself in like new situations more than I've thought about it. It's like since I first started comedy, that's coming into a new area. Mm-hmm. Then going to LA,
yeah.
That's going into another new area, and then like going to Texas, that's boom, another new area there, and mm-hmm. it's like, oh shit. All right, yeah, I keep just putting myself into uncomfortable situations and it's like figuring out how to deal with them, and it's like a little puzzle that I get to put together and shit. It's never fun. It sucks.
Right.
It sucks every time. Uh-huh. It sucks every time. But like learning the area in the city and meeting new people, that's always the adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've met this dude and. Doing some night work and shit, a night shift job in Texas.
Mm.
And it's so crazy I met him because, like, I just so happened to have a truck and he just so happened to be riding his bike. And, like, at the end of the shift, I was like, dude, I'll take you home.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you just fucking toss your bike in the back. And yeah, motherfucker rode his bike for an hour just to get to work.
Holy
I was like,
shit.
And then we worked the graveyard shift.
Yeah.
And once we got off, it was misty and shit.
God,
I was like, so you just got to ride this back? He was like, I was going to do what I got to do. I was like, damn, son, we was supposed to have Matt.
Yeah.
This is good.
I mean, fucking respect, but gosh,
yeah.
That sucks.
It's like, fuck yeah, that sucks, son. And I'm tired of shit right now. You just going to have to ride back. And he said, I was like, man, where you from? What's your name, son? And he said his name is Sam. I was like, oh man, that's my little brother's name. How ironic is that? He was like, yeah, man, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I was like, that's cool. He was like, but my name is not really Sam. I was like, oh, all right. He was like, I'll just say that because most people can't say my real name. I was like, what's your real name, man? He was like, my real name is Shamari. I was like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, man, I got a partner named Kamari. So he was like, what? I was like, yeah.
From Ohio.
From Ohio, exactly. He was like, oh, shit. I was like, man, the universe brought us together, Shamari. This is how it's supposed to happen.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It's fucking just wild times. So I'm like, all right, so I'm this is my next quantum leap. This is where I'm supposed to be. I need to find Ziggy and see what my fucking objective is. I got it. That's kind of how I like to go ahead and picture my life now. Like, just a big quantum leap. And I wake up and I'm like, oh, I got to figure shit out now?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get it. Who am I today? Oh, fucking, I'm a white corporate guy. I love this. I love this. It feels like I have a leg up.
Man, I didn't really thought about that, but like, it's been... not having a full-time job the last, like, year or so, this is the first time in a while where I've had to, like, really, like, work to, like, be happy, you know? Like, I have to, like, actually be like, no, like, you know, go outside in the sunlight today. Like, go hang out with your friends. Like, go eat dinner with your wife. Like, I actually forcing myself to, because, like, when you have, like, when you're not broke as hell, like, and you just, like, work at the same job for, like, 5-6 years, like, you just get used to it. It's
yeah.
like, you know, nothing scary. You're like, ah, we're fine. Everything's good. And then when that gets ripped out from underneath you, you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then, like, you have to find ways, like, not only find ways to hustle and make money in the meantime to pay bills, but then also just, like, it's like, man, I got fucking depressed as shit. Because, like, there were days where I was like, don't know how I'm going to pay the fucking mortgage. I don't know how we're going to pay these bills. Like, yeah. I was like, I had to, like, take a credit card out just to go get, like, groceries and shit like that. I was like, we got to eat. And, like, at least I can get a credit card. At least my credit score is pretty good, so I can at least do that. Good. But I was like, fuck, I don't have any money. So, like, now, I'm, you know, I have, like, unpaid grocery credit card debt now.
I but, like, understand. You know, it's,
I, but I'm like, man, this is, like, I was getting real fucking depressed. And don't get me wrong. I am in a much better situation than the vast majority of people that don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all right, but, like, and I will be all right. I got, you know, shit lined up, but it still was, like, it was depressing. It was the first time in my life I've been in a situation like that. And like, man, it fucking sucked. Like, having to, like, try to really, like, force myself how to, like, I said, being here, I'd have to, like, I, like, started, like, open up the blinds in the living room and stuff like that. Yeah. Because, like, on, like, a cloudy day, it would just be, like, pitch black in here. Oh, and I realized, like, yeah, it's just, like,
yeah,
just, like,
it'll bring you down. Cave. It'll suck you in.
Like, no, man. Remember that there's a world out there. Yeah, like, definitely. You can't just sit here and stare at your computer all day. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's, man, it's crazy. Like, you just have to make effort.
Yeah, ain't nothing gonna happen. You gotta make it happen. Yeah,
exactly.
It's wild because me and myself, yeah, I understand. I had to deal with that out in L.A., and it got terrible. Like, when I first started this, I was just like, yes, all right, we're down 6 payday loans now, you guys. 6 payday loans. And I would count them down to say, like, okay, we're down to 4 now, and then back up next to 6 the next week because it got shitty as fuck out there. And I was surprised that, you know, because my credit is terrible, nigga status for some reason. But I'm able to go ahead and get a payday loan and be diligent with paying payday loans back because I had a job.
Right.
So, like, but payday loans, it's just a scheme. It's just a fucking...
Dude, that shit's fucked up, man.
Yeah, it's very fucked up. So I'm thinking, like, every time I'm like, all right, I'd be able to do this. Basically, I had to get payday loans to pay my payday loans.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it accumulates nothing but the debt. Now, at this point in time, I got 2 of them. But they just in the air because I don't feel like doing nothing with them. Now, I can pay them off, but I'm like, fuck y'all. Y'all gonna wait. Y'all gonna wait, goddammit. So, like, I'm doing a lot better about my situation now that I've been back home. But, boy, the beginning of this, you can...
Shit,
yeah, like, yeah.
I can imagine that's fucking hard.
Yeah, and then me being out there by myself.
Yeah.
Because no family, really. Nobody. Like, I've seen people going out there now, and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be by my mama for a little bit. And it's like, oh, there you go. You have at least a family member out there to go ahead and stay by. Oh, you have some type of cushion. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a little cushion. I had homies to help me out in the beginning. But, you know, in the beginning, it was Airbnb to Airbnb. And then from there, then I actually found a job within the week, which was helpful.
That's awesome.
But from that point, like, it was trying to find a suitable place to stay. And once I found that, oh my God. It's just just the beginning of how all this shit started.
Just like a place to actually, like, fucking, you know, hang your hat.
Yeah, and just sit there and have a place to actually build it and save money and not have to go anywhere. That's when all that, it just, I made just enough to maybe make a ham and cheese sandwich throughout the week, you know, and then be good by the next pay period came, thinking that I would have money, but nah, it would be just enough to pay all the bills and then think about when you're gonna get paid again. So I mean, and then, you know, all the elements on top of that weren't against me because like the car that I did buy after my first car got rammed into and died completely, that the next car that I got, it had 4 cylinders, but only 3 of them worked. So it didn't really go up mountains and hills and shit like that. And LA is nothing but hills.
Right.
You know, the turmoil that I had to deal with. And then, I was able to survive a good 9 months before the universe was like, nigga, you got to get out. We got to go now. We got to go. And I'm like, all right, cool. I get it. I can read signs. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's funny because the car that I had, I called it Thomas. I called her Thomas, the tank engine. I called it Thomas just because the engine worked well. And I was writing a joke about it. At the same time that I wrote that joke, as soon as I finished writing that joke, the engine died. I was like, you motherfucker. I was just speaking good about you just now. And you're going to fucking die on me? Oh, man. It died. I had to coast all the way to the house. And it, I didn't even get to coast to the house. I coasted to where I was able to put it somewhere and have it safe. And then thinking that I'd be able to work on it. And see, that Monday is when my car died. I came back from rock climbing with a friend. And it was fun because I was like, this is how y'all rock climb? Yeah. They rock climb. They go all the way up. Yeah. And you got to come across the top and then work on a ladder coming down. You got to come down on a ladder. I'm like, oh, this all is right. cool as shit. I didn't never know you can go all the way to the top. So that was fun. Came home, car broke. I was like, God damn. So I was like, I got to get to work. I caught the bus. I caught two Ubers. I caught two buses and an Uber to get to work for the first till Thursday. Yeah. I did that all the way till Thursday. And Thursday, my job fired me. I was like, bitch, y'all knew my car broke on Monday.
Dude.
Yeah. On a Thursday. I was like, you couldn't even give me that extra day?
Yeah, give me Friday.
I couldn't get that last day? All right. I get you.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Goddamn.
Shit it on me hard. Yeah. Oh, goddamn. Hell yeah. I didn't know. I was like, all right. All this is going to come against me now? Is this what I... You know what? Fuck this place. I'm out. I don't have to be here. I get what you're telling me. Yeah. I see what you're telling me.
Man,
all right, I'm done.
I would probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, nah, fuck this.
Yeah.
There's no, like, it can only go down from here.
Yeah.
And this sucks.
Yeah. This sucks. Next is going to be my feet dangling from the curve because somebody took my shoes because I'm out homeless. I can't have that. I definitely don't have to deal with it. I bounced. I was like, you know what? I'm a leave. Hopefully, in good graces. I didn't leave. It wasn't any type of good graces at all. I tried, but you know, desperate times called for desperate measures. Yeah. And you know, at least I was able to like clear all of my shit out. I had to make a journey back up to LA. I think this was like 2 weeks ago. What I did was to get out of LA. I was able to catch a plane for like $100, come back to Texas. But what I did, I took all my things and I brought it to a friend's house. Mm. And he was there. He was like, man, you know, you can just leave it in here in my store, in my garage, until you come back.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. And I was like in November. And I was like, oh, shit. So eventually I was going to have to, what I was going to do, I was just going to get a rental. And my people was going to help me out with getting a rental and shit because my credit bad. So I can't get a rental myself because, you know, up there, like, ain't nobody got a credit card or anything like that. Be like, oh, yeah, I'll do this for you. So came back home, was able to do that with my people, got a rental. And then I was able to go ahead and I drove all the way back to L.A. Yeah. Like, I've only made this trip one time.
Yeah, that's a long-ass drive.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And then, so it was a drive there, drive back, basically a turnaround trip. It took me 3 days.
Shit,
took me...
that's not too bad.
I left on a Friday and I came back on a Sunday. But see, the thing was, like, it got to the point to where I would hit my partner up. I'd be like, hey, how's everything going? Everything cool?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man, you know, we chilling. We cool. We going to be here. And then we didn't talk. And then the new year came around. And I was just like, man, I ain't heard from this nigga in a minute. He ain't really say nothing.
Right.
If something feels weird, let me just holler at this motherfucker, see what's going on. Probably need to be getting up there soon anyway. Motherfucker, I called him. I'm like, what's good, son? He's like, ain't much, man. You know, we going to be moving out at the end of the week. I'm like, what?
No.
Oh, all right. So that means I got to go now. Yeah, all right, cool. I'm glad I'm calling you on a Monday,
yeah.
You know, to say you're going to be out by the weekend. It's like, my nigga, my stuff's still out there. He's like, yeah. I was just going to take it with me to bring it into storage. I'm like, all right, I'll be up there this week.
Yeah.
And so it was just, boom, fucking in motion. Let's get it. And I took that trip. And that trip was, it wasn't bad. The first two times I took this trip, I drove straight through completely 23 hours and I didn't stop. On the way back, I took a nap. I took me like a 2 hour nap or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I drove back. I was like, I'm not trying to do this again like that. So I pulled over at a rest stop. The first few times it was The second time it was brutal because I wasn't going up there for the purpose that I'm excited about this. Yeah. Second time it's like, I gotta get some shit, I gotta do stuff.
Yeah, man. And, I can only imagine that. It's just like fucking Charlie Brown walking with his head.
Yeah, and then all on top of that, it's just me by myself.
That's a long ass drive by myself. I don't even like going on fucking Lafayette by myself.
Get in the thoughts.
I'm like, I just bring somebody with me just so that way. Like, Isaac and I brought Wait What up there last weekend, and great fucking show.
Yeah.
But Isaac went up separately because it was his girlfriend's birthday weekend. So he's like, since we got to do the show, you know, on her birthday weekend, we're gonna make like a long weekend out of it. So they went up separately and like got to like a hotel and like spending it all in Lafayette and like a nice little weekend.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but it was like, so you're gonna drive up alone. I was like, I'm bringing a comic from New Orleans. Yeah, put him on the show. Yeah, with me. And I was like, he's originally from Lafayette, so I was like, he's gonna be comfortable out there. And also, I'm glad I brought him. First of all, he fucking tore the stage up. It was nice. Awesome. And but also because he's from Lafayette. We just slept at his parents' house.
Oh, good shit.
We didn't have to pay for a room. We didn't have to, like, crash on, like, some comics dirty couch or something like that.
That's always a good time.
I was planning on driving back, because I usually do, but, like, I wasn't drunk, but I was just, like, fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
Because I'd gotten up early in the morning to bring Mary Devin and Vincent to the airport, because they were going to Atlanta to do some shows.
Yeah.
And so I brought them early in the morning to the airport. And I just couldn't get back to sleep. And I only got like 3 hours of sleep because I was staying up late because I ain't got shit to do in the morning. So I was like, I'll just stay up, bring him to the airport, come back and take a nap. Couldn't fall back asleep. Then I had to drive all the way out to Lafayette, the 2.5 hours there. And then afterwards I was like, I could probably make it, but man, it's hard keeping my damn eyes open.
Yeah.
And Will was like, probably crash at my parents' house. I was like, that would be fucking great. I don't, you know, drive us off a bridge or something like that.
Right, right. Oh, man, those goddamn drives. On the way, once I got into L.A., then L.A. woke me the fuck up and was like, bitch, pay attention. Just because, nigga, the traffic came. And I was like, oh, my God. There was a moment where, like, I was like, oh, this could have ended terribly. Like, I finally get here and I just fucked it all up. So I was like, oh, okay, this is, you know what, I'm going to take my time on the way back home, because it was scary. It was scary what happened. I was like, shit, all right, like, good we ain't got to do this no more, but I get you, L.A. It's like, L.A. just saying, oh, bitch, you're back, huh? I'm like, oh, okay, y'all don't want me here? I get it. I'll be gone. But fucking road trips are amazing, especially when you got somebody with you. Yeah, especially when you... The first time I actually went on a tour was with Krangus Gillespie. Chris Gillespie. And
you saw him last night?
Which I'm bringing him up now because I saw him last night as well at your show, Crescent Fresh, every Thursday at Dragon's Den.
Yes, sir.
I seen him the other night, and he was the first person I went on a little mini tour with. And we went to Alabama and everything, and like we stayed with his people. And I was like, I'm glad I'm a cool dude, because this is a very interesting not having to stay in a hotel and actually having a place to be accommodated by is like his family.
So
you're used to your family, but when you know when you meeting other people's family, it's like a new environment. It's like, oh shit, now I have to be polite and show that, you know, I can't.
This isn't your friend that you've known since you were
little. I just met him.
Your family.
Now I gotta meet your people.
Right.
And it's like, oh shit, like, I gotta tell jokes. I wanna be in my own headspace, but I also have to be accommodating because I'm also in y'all's shit.
Right.
So just like, this is new. This is a new environment for me. This is a new way to feel. And I was like, all right, this is not something for everybody.
Right.
And I understood that. I was like, if this is what you want to do as a comic, especially this was free. This is free, and they're accommodating us and they're feeding us and shit. Fuck yeah. I was really, it was fun. It was a fun experience for me, because it felt like I've been camping and shit before. Mm-hmm. So, like, I like going out into the wilderness. And being out there in the wilderness, that's where people stay. And I was like, oh, this is cool. this is cool shit. But, like, if you just had any other random person, because that's what he was looking for.
Yeah.
He was looking, it was either between me and Geneva to go out there.
Yeah.
And I was like, Geneva, I'll check this out first. just because, you know, it's just strange just to send a female off with somebody that none of us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, off into another state and shit. No telling where we're going to be in there. And funny thing is, right down the street from the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Just,
I mean, I don't know why I'm surprised.
Right.
I didn't know that they're there.
Yeah, Aryan Brotherhood. He decided to point that out. He was like, yeah, man, they used to put bodies in barrels and shit right down the street down there. They chased them out of the area, but I think some of them still there. I was like, oh, thanks.
Cool story.
This is cool, man. Appreciate that, dude. A little history of the area, huh? I love it. So, yeah, it was fun though. It was fun as shit to be able to see different crowds and different venues in different places that I've never been out to do something like that of my own.
Yeah.
So to be able to tag along with like and actually get paid to do a little mini tour, I'm like, all right, that's cool.
Man, yeah, I need to do a little stretch like that. Mm-hmm. Like, just do a few shows across a couple of states or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Because I usually do, it's like a one-off thing. Like, I'll go, like, when I went to Chicago, I was like, I'm going to go spend 4 days in Chicago, crash on my buddy from high school's couch.
Yeah.
And like, you know, just do a bunch of shows, see the city. I've never been to Chicago before at all. So I was like, let me go check out the city. And, like, I had a blast. Shows were great. Everybody was awesome. But it was nice to just, like, go do, like, 4 days, stay there, and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with, like, Memphis and Orlando, Atlanta. Like, I'll go there for a few days, then come back. But, like, I've never done, like, all right, we'll do a night here, a night there, a night there. Just kind of do, like, a little mini tour thing.
Right.
Which, man, yeah, because I've not traveled enough, like I said, man. Like, not even just with comedy, just, like, in my life. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I need to
I don't know. I don't know what it feels like to be in any type of negative weather.
I don't
look forward to it, but I know comedy will take me there eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to tag along with somebody, just anybody that's out there. Just if you want to take somebody funny with you on the road, I am willing and free to go. But just to feel what it feels like to be in something cold. Or see snow.
Yeah. You know? I know, like that, like Chicago snow or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I purposely went to Chicago in September because I was like, it's going to be cool, but it's not going to be cold, and it won't be snowing. Like, it'll be nice, you know. It'll be right after the summer, right before, you know, the holidays. I'm like, this is a good time to go. And it was perfect. It was like, during the day, it was like, kind of how it feels today. Like, you know, like, upper 60s and sunny. I was like, this is nice. And at night, it was a little chilly, but it was fine. I was like, I can handle this. But I was like, I don't want my first trip to Chicago to be like, fucking feet of snow, like 20 below or whatever it is. Like,
I mean, it's bad enough
I had to try to figure out how to, you know, handle the, you know, riding the train and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when the weather's fine. I couldn't imagine doing it when, you know, if that was all at one time, learning the city and, like, dealing with the snow.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a good observation to think about.
Like, let me do it with no snow first, and then maybe I'll go back in the winter at some point.
I would have to be escorted by somebody because I definitely know. I was talking to Geneva and she was like, "Oh, you don't know about the salt that you got to get from the store so you can salt the snow." I was like, "I don't know nothing about what you got to buy bags." They're like, "Yeah, like big sandbags or just salt." I'm like, "What?
That's insane.
I don't know nothing about that. I don't know nothing about that at all."
The heat here can be brutal.
Yeah.
And, like, it can be bad, but you can just go inside.
Yep, you can just go inside. You got AC.
That's it. That's all you got to do.
Oh, just open the door, open some windows, man. That breeze will come through.
It's fine. But, man, if it's, like, I mean, and, like, yeah, sure, we get, you know, we get floods and stuff down here, but, like, I don't know. It's not like snow, man. I couldn't deal with that shit.
I can't.
Every year.
I couldn't.
For days at a time. Like,
oh, no.
Sometimes being trapped in your house for days.
For snow.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their elements.
I like our snow. I'm not with it. Where they shut down the city because we don't know what the fuck to do about the snow. And everybody's like, look, we got about an eighth of an inch of snow and it's melting as soon as it hits the ground. But everybody go home.
Everybody, I love that shit. Don't even get out in the streets. And then the
next day, there's no snow, nothing. It's just like kind of nice.
Kind of nice. Yeah. It's like, what's up with this weather? As long as my feet not cold, we all right. Oh man, God damn it, Jeff is down damn now. This has been amazing. Shit. Yeah,
that went by fast.
Yeah, it did. It did go by really fast.
I actually forgot we were recording halfway through. I was like, oh wait, that's right.
That's
a podcast.
I was like, that we good. This is fucking levels has been all right and shit.
Good,
but man, fuck yeah, dude. This has been a fucking fun day. Let everybody know where they can find you. What you got going on? And shit.
Let's see. You can find me on social media at Animated Jeff. That's GEOFF. And you can
spell it.
Yeah, the right way. and check out 504comedy.com. You can find out shows happening all around town, especially my shows, the Ripoff Show, Game Show, Wait What, comedy drinking game. I got an open mic every Thursday at the Dragon's Den. You can find everything through my social media. I got links to everything on there.
There it is, goddammit. Yeah. Man, and this is if you had to pick a Joker that you would say it personifies you the most, which Joker would it be?
Which Joker? That's a good question. Damn. All right. I'm gonna say. I feel like. Do I have to pick just one? Because I feel
you can put them in a category.
Because I feel like I'm kind of like a cross between. Oh man, this is tough. I'm trying to I don't want to say Joaquin Phoenix is because I feel it's too. It's too obvious for me. I don't know. There's probably... All right. I would say probably a little bit Heath Ledger in there. Mostly because of he has this almost undue confidence. This level of confidence. It's you shouldn't be that confident. Yeah. And I think I get that from time to time. Maybe Jack Nicholson, because everybody forgets about him being the Joker these days. I love how pissed he got when Heath Ledger did the Joker and he was like, why didn't they ask me? It's like,
what?
You're not that guy. It's a different movie. Also, you're way older.
Way too old. Nah. This Joker looked like he went through some shit. Oh, perfect.
Oh, man.
That works. Well, fuck yeah, man. This has been Tell Me a Joke, the guy out of Chasing the Dream. This has been my homie Jeff. I'm the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Find me at maniacalmenace.com. Good night.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That was fun.